Today we're outside of Building 27. This is the home of the group that works on accessibility features in Windows, and today we're going to take a look at their accessibility lab. All right, so we walked through a typical Microsoft door, and we've ended up in what looks like a living room with Daniel Hubble. Daniel, we talked to you earlier this week on Channel 9 about the ease of access features in Windows 7. Tell us about this space we're in.
Yeah, well, this is the accessibility showroom here at Building 27, and what we do here is we have a series of personas set up to describe sort of what the life or the situation, work situation or living situation as this might be, of people with various disabilities. So we have a person with low vision, a person who's blind, a quadriplegic, and then we talk a little bit about aging and seniors.
And is accessibility features in Windows, is that specifically for people with disabilities? Because it seems like it applies to all of us.
Yeah, I mean, there's a range of abilities that we all have, and we mostly think about accessibility being features for people with traditional disabilities. But disabilities can manifest themselves in many ways. So as we get older, we start to lose vision, maybe lose a little dexterity, even cognitive reasoning. We talked about the rugby situation in our, on our talk last week. And we can have temporary conditions. Sometimes those could be accidents where I've broken my arm. It could be that I work in a machine shop and I can't hear because the machinery is too loud.
Yeah.
So there's a number of different factors that can go into or that can be used with accessibility features.
And so tell us about the living room here. What types of things are you testing for here?
Yeah, well, what we do here is we really try and explain to folks around campus, developers, program managers, about what the situations are, the real world situations are that people use our products in. In this case, we have a living room situation where a person might be elderly, and our recommendation is, hey, you're not comfortable sitting at a computer because it's actually sort of physically hard sometimes for an older person to sit at a computer for a long period of time. Use your big screen TV. I've got a big 47-inch TV here with the high DPI settings that we talked about last time turned on, where I can, from 10 feet away, easily see the computer. I've got a wireless keyboard and a wireless mouse. Why not make the living room that comfortable place that makes it easier for you to use?
Now, do you do testing here with people with disabilities, or is this more for developers to come in and see how their products are being used in the real world?
Yeah, great question. When we first created the center, what we did is we had a number of employees around campus come in with each of these various disabilities and do sort of a dry run for us. Do we have the right products? Are we talking about the right things and the way that you use them? So we did sort of a check with them to make sure that we were really illustrating the scenarios correctly. And then we used this primarily, rather than as testing for customers, as a tool to bring developers, program managers, like I said, in and expose them to the scenarios that a people with particular disabilities might encounter.
And behind this living room, we have several stations set up. Can we take a tour of some of these stations?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go take a look. All right, so we're at the first station here, and this is, I take it from the keyboard, this is low vision.
Right, this is Allison's workstation. Allison is a fictional character that we've created to illustrate low vision and some of the things that we have. So Allison uses a high contrast keyboard. This keyboard is yellow keys, big black lettering to really give her the easy ability to see her keys.
So a lot of contrast.
A lot of contrast. Similarly, she has a portable magnifier here. We talked about the on-screen magnifier with the PC, but we don't do everything with our computer. This is an example of a device where I can actually take a box like this that has beautifully legible lettering on it, and I can actually take the camera and use it as a portable magnifier. This could be a menu in a restaurant or something. I can also change the color, so I've moved this to black and white. I can reverse it, and I can, you know, do several different color combinations depending on the type of visual disability I might have.
Nice. And you have another camera there that's a little bit smaller?
Yeah, I mean, this is another camera that essentially does the same thing. It's a smaller form factor. This is obviously pretty large. This has more functions like the color transformation than this one has, but to put this in your pocket and carry it around in case you're in a place where you couldn't read a menu or a sign or a book,
yeah,
this is something convenient to carry.
And I imagine in the future those things will be moving to portable devices like your phone.
Yeah, absolutely. Windows Phone with Mango coming out, there's going to be an opportunity now that you can have a real live video stream from the camera. You'll be able to write applications that do exactly those functions.
Excellent. And tell us about this device over here with the headset.
Yeah, this is a product called the Jordy, and it actually does two different things. Our Star Trek fans will love the name, of course. One is it's a document viewer. So this is a typical document viewer. I've got a magazine here that this has a camera that projects this onto a screen where I can see an enlarged view of it. Mm-hmm. But secondary to that, we learned from an employee who was using this, who was an architect, and he was in meetings with big whiteboard diagrams and said, I have a hard time seeing the whiteboard from a distance. And this actually comes out as a headset, and you can try this on, and you can actually see across the room like a pair of electronic binoculars.
Very cool. So you can see whiteboards, you can... I can see the droids in the distance on the dune. Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, Bantha Tracks, that's what you have to be looking for.
So tell us about this station.
Yeah, this is Michael's workstation, and Michael's blind. We have a few things here that are interesting to talk about related to what a person who's blind might use in their workplace. The first one that they'll use is, this is what's called a refreshable braille display. This is used in conjunction with some sort of text-to-speech output, like a screen reader or a Windows narrator. And in the case of this, if I click the Start menu to open the Start menu,
Start search, edit box.
The screen reader actually reads some content to me of what's happening on the screen, and simultaneously, the Braille is actually being raised here with the text of what's actually being said. And if I begin to type here, let's say I want to do a search in the search edit box for drivers. I type D-R-I. And when I do that, it'll actually update that text here, and I could read drivers in Braille right on the Braille display.
Very cool. And what are the buttons that are above the Braille?
This is what's called a Perkins Brailler or a Perkins keyboard, and this is like a 10-key court reporter. We referred to it earlier as like courting letters.
Yeah.
So the letter A is like pressing a chord. You have two or three buttons that you would hit. These originally were designed for the old school typewriters that were used to print physical Braille on paper, and so each of these buttons corresponded to a dot in Braille. Obviously, we've moved beyond just the alphabet, and so they actually have quick keys that you can use with these, with the keys on the Braille. And people that know how to use them can type wicked fast.
Yeah, like a court reporter.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. And tell us about this very cool printer here.
Yeah, this is from a company called ViewPlus. They're down in Corvallis, Oregon. And there was a professor there who was a science teacher, and he lost his vision. And he decided to go off and build printers that could do more than just print Braille. Because obviously in the sciences, you need to be able to have things like charts and graphs and whatnot. So he formed this company, and they have printers that do both text printed in ink as well as the embossed Braille to represent that same line of text, so that as a sighted person, you could come up and actually read the same document a blind person might be using. Mm-hmm. In the case of this, this is a SmartArt graphic that was created in Office 2010, and it has the embossed image of the inkjet graphic here, and in fact, it's in two different heights, so I can actually feel the difference between the dark green and the light green.
Very interesting.
The plug-in for this is actually amazing, because you can take a document that's been written and immediately convert it to Braille and have it output, and you don't have to know anything about what, you know.
So there's no manual labor.
There's no manual labor involved at all. You literally just install the driver from the printer and click translate, and it pumps out your finished product.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Let's look at the next station.
Let's go.
All right, so we're here at the last station. Tell us about this setup.
Yeah, this is Garrett's station, and Garrett is a quadriplegic. He's confined to a wheelchair and doesn't have the use of his arms and his feet. So in this case, it begs the question, well, how would I use the computer if I don't have any arms? Well, we talked a little bit about speech recognition last week. Mm-hmm. What I have here today are actually some third-party solutions that augment through hardware the experience that a person might use if they couldn't use the keyboard and the mouse. So I have a head-tracking camera here, which actually triangulates off of a small reflector that I have conveniently put on the end of this pen just for the ease of demonstrating.
And that would typically be on a hat or a headband.
The bridge of your glasses, something like that. And you would sit in front of the camera, and you would use the movement of your head to actually move your mouse around the screen. So in this case, I am moving the cursor in front of the document here that we want to type. So then the next thing you have to think about is, how do I use the mouse? If we can move the mouse around this way, how do I click? I have two buttons here that is one way that you could use the mouse. So if I have some maybe gross motor skill, in the example I was talking about earlier, there's a gentleman I know that lost his arms from his elbows down. And so he didn't have hands, but he still had motion in his arms, and he mounted these on the side of his chair. He uses them like paddles on a pinball machine.
Yeah.
And so he could then control the mouse buttons that way.
And those could also probably be used on the floor.
You could use them on the floor as foot pedals. You could put them in any number of ways.
Yeah.
The one that I actually have set up that I think is even cooler than the foot pedals there is this is what's called a sip and puff switch. And this is just a little headset that I'm going to put on with a small straw that I have sort of fit for my head. And the straw has a pneumatic switch here that can feel the pressure between when I'm blowing or if I'm sipping off of the straw. And that's how I'm going to control my left and my right mouse clicks. So moving around, imagine then if I'm sitting in front of this and I'm moving my head around, I can actually move the mouse. If it finds it, here we go. I can move the mouse to where we want to go, and I can type with the straw.
And it seems to be a little bit faster than I would have expected it to be.
It's very responsive. I mean, it's amazingly acute at how little pressure you have to blow on this for it to recognize that you've done a click. And then, of course, to click and hold, I would just sort of blow on it, and I don't have to blow out a full breath of air, but if I just exert a little bit of pressure and a blowing force, I can actually click and drag a window.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
You're doing great work here, Daniel. Thanks for showing us the lab today. Where can people go for more information on accessibility?
Sure. We have a website. You can just go to www.microsoft.com/enable.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.